Welcome to The Stuff, the podcast where you and I literally talk about what else? Stuff. This is your comedic escapist podcast show, and I'm your host, Ian Walker. Now, let's go talk about some stuff. Hey everyone, Ian Walker here, back with another episode. We've got a lot to talk about this week. A lot of good stuff has come out. We got trailers. Going to talk about that new Lion King trailer that just came out for the live action Lion King movie that's coming out, I believe, is either going to be towards the end of the year. I mean, not towards the end of the year. It's going to be coming out mid-July, I believe. And then we're going to be talking about parenting. Parents and the crazy stuff that parents used to say to us as children. And how we swore we would never say that to our kids. I'm never going to say that. Well, how has that turned out for us? We're going to talk about that for a little bit. And then, finally, we're also going to talk about the brand new clown Prince of Crime, who's going to be making his debut as the Joker in the new Joker film, Joaquin Phoenix. And we're going to be talking about that and how excited I am about that movie, which is really cool. I hope you guys had a good week. So far, again, I want to take the time to thank you guys so much for listening to the show. I got some new followers and subscribers to the show. Shouts out to the folks, my mom and dad, which is one of the reasons why I put this show together, at least one of the segments in the show, as well as GS, or again, Vinyl Fan, who's been emailing me, and this was a topic that he wanted brought up as well. So shout out to you all, and thank you so much for faithfully following and listening. And also thank you to those on Instagram who have been actively commenting on the page, which is awesome. So this episode is pretty much for you guys, just to show you I've been listening, I've been hearing you guys, and I really want to put on a good show for you guys this week. So I hope you guys really enjoy what I bring to the table this week. So without further ado, I'm going to stop talking and let's get on with this week's episode of The Stuff Podcast Show. I remember being over at my sister's house one time, and she's talking with her kids, and she's, one of the babies is doing something. My sister has four kids. She has three girls and a boy. Okay, and one of the little girls was doing something. She was just on one that day. She was doing too much. My sister was having a rough day. She just had it. And I remember I had came over to visit her and the kids. And this one of the kids started acting up. She said, "I swear to God, I'm going to take you." I'm saying this wrong. She said, "I swear to God, I'm going to yank off your arms and beat you unconscious with them." I'm like, oh my God. I turned around, I was like, oh my goodness. Like, why would you say that? You know, and the kids were just like, oh, you know, didn't even care. Just turn around. Just kept doing what they were doing like it was a normal everyday occurrence. You know, those threats were normal. That was just the norm of life, you know. And my sister would say all kinds of crazy stuff like that. You know, I swear to God, I'm going to choke you until your larynx falls out or something like that. You know, she would just say all kind of crazy stuff. And it got me thinking. I was like, you know, when it came to my son, I don't think I've had to say, you know, crazy stuff like that to my kid. My son is pretty good. I mean, you guys have heard me talk about my son before, how good of a kid he is. I'm not saying that all the time, just be like, oh, here we go. You talk about how great a son is. No, I'm not doing that, okay? I'm just saying I don't ever recall having to always, you know, get on his case 24/7. But there were some times when he was cutting up. You know, and I would threaten, my biggest thing is snapping necks. Like, I would threaten that I would snap his neck, you know. Or, you know, I'd punch him in the throat so hard I'd give him a stroke. You know, something like that. I mean, messed up, hindsight, yeah. But, you know, we get that from somewhere, you know. I placed a poll on Instagram about some of the stuff that parents would say. Because, you know, when we be tired, okay, when we just having long, rough days, and these kids just come up and just do some crazy stuff, and we just, you know, we're just not there mentally at the moment sometimes. You know, we should always make time for our kids and all of that. But there's those times when you're done with work and you just want to get rid of people. And then your babies come up to you, bless their heart, you know, and they just want your love. You know, they ain't asking for nothing else. At last, they're asking for food and eat all your food in your dang house and all that. And don't want to pay rent and don't want to do nothing around the house. But other than that, you know, when they're little and cute, you know, they just want your love. I mean, they just want you to just love them and pay attention to them and just have fun, you know. But sometimes we just like, you know what, I'm good. So, you know, we just, you know, you just kind of just get a little crazy sometimes. I don't know if it's called delirium, you know, getting a little delirious or whatever. But we end up just, the craziest stuff just ends up coming out of our mouths sometimes. But yeah, I would say that to my son. You know, dude, I will snap your neck. You know, you need to get away from me before your neck gets snapped, or, you know, get away from me. And it sounds terrible. Now I'm sounding like a terrible father. I promise you, I never snapped his neck. I never did. But that made me think, what kind of crazy stuff did our parents say to us when we were kids? My parents never said crazy stuff. My parents wasn't. In fact, as I'm thinking back now, my parents didn't really threaten us that much. There was one time, I mean, not one time, but there'd be occasions, like especially my dad. My dad would say stuff like, when he would call you little boy, or with my sister, little girl, like, hey, little girl, or hey, little boy, get your behind over here. It was over. We was done. And he had this thing he does with his eyebrow. The one eyebrow look that he does, it's like, that was death. We knew it was over. When he gave us that stare, we was done. We just walked in the room, man, and just, you know, just gave up, you know. It was over. We were just like, you know what, it's a wrap. We about to wake up and get reincarnated. I'm confident this is like my 15th body, because if reincarnation was a thing, I get tore up. My sister's probably like on her 32nd. No, I'm just playing. So... No, but when we'd act up, I mean, it was over. And Dad was the one we get scared of. My mom, not so much. You know, she would yell sometimes. You know, she would yell a lot. But she wouldn't really threaten us a lot. The big thing that was always said, you better stop crying before I give you something to cry about. And it would be like, you know, I'm always already... And mom, and they would do some stuff like... So... We'll be at certain places. You guys will call it church. We call it Kingdom Hall where I go. But me and my sister, I remember one time we were sitting there playing around during the meeting. And we're having fun, just being stupid, doing stuff we weren't supposed to do, okay? We was cutting up. We weren't supposed to do it, okay? Granted. But all of a sudden, I turn around, and my mom is looking dead at me and my sister with this look on her face like, if we weren't here at the meeting right now, And then all of a sudden she pinches me, and she turned and she would pinch, and she would be like, and then she'd whisper low in our ear, don't you say nothing. Don't you scream. Don't you say nothing. Don't you cry. Don't you cry. And you know how kids had that look when they get that silent cry going on where their mouth is wide open and they looking ugly and mouth is wide open, but no sound is coming out. That's exactly what happened. My sister, myself, we all went through it. It was terrible. It was jacked up. And then added insult to injury, my dad would see what was going on, and then that was the eyebrow look. It was like, you know what? You know, after we're done with the tears, man, it was just, the ride home after the meeting would just be terrible. You know, it would just be, because, you know, there's no worse feeling than anticipating whooping. There's no worse feeling, you know, no worse feeling in the world. But I can say this, it is a blessing to have had that experience and to have had the type of discipline that I've had, because I really do credit a lot to my upbringing, to the person I've become. I'm not saying I'm extremely perfect or anything, and there's definitely things that my parents did that I never did with my son. Mostly because I didn't have to, but, you know, there are also some things that, you know, that I was like, you know what, I'm not going to do that with my son. I'm not going to do. I get mad. You know, you go in a room mad, talking crap behind your parents' back when the door's closed. You think, and I know my mom heard me a few times. He's probably on the other side of the door laughing, thinking we couldn't hear him. But it probably hurt us anyway, because I know I was when my son was doing it, you know. But, you know, when you sit there crying and pouting, man, you do this here, it's time to be, I'm never, when I have kids, I'm never going to do that to my kid. Okay. So fast forward, I have kids of my own, and I find myself repeating my mom and dad, saying the same stuff they used to say, and all of a sudden just be like, ah, no. It just comes right back. And as soon as you say it, you realize you didn't became your parents. And it's the funniest thing in the world. It's funny how the things that's happened to us as kids and the experiences with discipline that's molded us and shaped us are get so ingrained in us that we end up saying those same exact things or doing those same exact things with our kids. Obviously, it worked somewhere, right? I mean, or else we wouldn't be here where we're at today. I never been to jail. You know, I never get in fights all the time. I never did any of that stuff. In fact, as a kid, I was a little punk. You know, I was an artist. I had soft hands. I didn't know how to fix no cars. I played video games and drew all the time. I didn't play no sports. I liked sports. I played a little bit. You know, every once in a while, I played baseball, kickball. Dodgeball wasn't the game. I played some dodgeball like crazy. But I couldn't say I was an athletic young man. I wasn't. I was a little punk, but that's okay. It's okay. As I got older, I learned how to do this stuff. It's all right. Never too late to learn, right? So, but I turned out, I would say, my sister as well, we both turned out to be decent people and good people. You know, of course, we go through life, we make our own mistakes, and I've done things that we're always constantly learning. But it's funny because, and this is kind of getting a little bit more serious mode, how I feel like what happened with my relationship with my parents, especially when I became a teenager, usually when children get older and, you know, in those teenage years, there seems to be like a lot of clashing, you know, between personalities. And the number one thing my parents always taught us, my dad, and I never forget, and I always carry this with me, is the concept of respect. And what that really means and what it entails and how it is. There's people that think respect is just automatically given because of who a person is. And then there's the respect that, you know, experience with, you know, respect that comes with experience. And then there's some that just think it's owed to them just because they're amazing. I would say that my parents taught me the balance of all aspects of that, of what respect is. Respect does have to be earned from everyone, but it's a certain type of respect. It concerns with your own personal, views and your own personal morals that you develop as you grow up. And when you decide, you know, upon meeting somebody, that okay, this person's someone that I can respect. This is someone that I can look up to, or someone that I could talk to, or whatever the case may be. That's that respect that is earned over time. And then, of course, you do respect that person who has experience, and not just because they're older, but because they've lived life. They've gone through these things, because trust me, y'all, there's some people who've lived life and still just do dumb stuff. You don't respect nobody like that. You just don't. And so I wasn't taught to be no fool and just respect anybody just because they're older. There was a balance there. And so as I got older, I found it was funny. My relationship with my parents was exact opposite, I would say, for most teenagers. I, in fact, got along with my parents as I got older. And in my teenage years, especially, I did a lot more with them. We've had a lot of personal experiences and events that we've done as a family, as I've gotten older. And it's just me personally, that's really helped me. I remember a point, and I was 16 years old. There would be a few things I would do when I would hang with my mom. When she would be cooking, I would hang out in the kitchen with her sometimes. Most of the time she'd kick me out though, because I'd be in the way. But there'd be that. But there'd be two times when I would really hang out with my mom, and that was when she would be in the bathroom doing her hair. I would sit there all the time and talk to her while she's doing her hair. Or when we would be cleaning up, and we would just cleaning up a certain room together. And I remember when I was 16 years old, it was, I would say it was a pivotal moment in our relationship where our dynamic changed, where literally my mama became, my world. I understood, like, you know what? This is my mama. I mean, it's always your mama, but there's a point with a boy, and I think with a young man too, where there's a connection that clicks, and this is where it happened with me, where we were talking, and we were talking about how I would be when I got older, and she said, my mom would always give me these, life lessons or these sayings, but one of the things she made me promise, she goes, every Sunday, when you're old, I don't care how old you are, you give me a call, and you better tell me how you're doing so I know you're safe. And I've always done that. As of late, I've been slacking off on it. I ain't gonna lie, sorry, Mama, love you. But I try to talk to her as much as possible. I try to go, every week, making sure I talk to her, and talking to my parents, period, but especially my mom. But that was one of the things she made me promise, and we promised that to each other. After that, I started understanding her more. We talked more all the time, and that just grew. Me and my dad. My dad, it was funny. My dad would always say, I'm your dad, I ain't your friend. But I ain't your friend, I'm your father first, I ain't your friend. But I'd be like, man, we going out here playing pool, we playing video games at arcades and stuff, going to comic shops, doing stuff. My dad was my buddy. My dad's still my buddy, to this day. And I set up, I enjoy just hanging out. Me and my dad, we've hung out ever since I was a kid. I mean, like a little kid. I always remember having fun with my dad, but my dad was that balance too. He was fun to hang out with, fun to be around, but boy, when you messed up, I think, I think possibly I was maybe two or three shades darker when I was a baby compared to what I am now. Just, I would do some stupid stuff. I was a weird kid, but I would do some stupid stuff. I learned quick. I was a good learner. I was a quick learner. I never repeated the same things twice. I had this phase where I would just, I don't know why I had this phase where I was stealing stuff. I don't know what came over me. My parents thought something was wrong with me, like I was possessed with something. I don't know. But I was just in this mode where I was taking like pies and stuff, taking food in my bed, in my room. I don't know. And I think back on it, just how ridiculous it was, but I don't even know. But I got tore up. I got tore up. But that is what it is. Again, learning from the mistakes and growing was a super important thing. But because of that, now my parents and I are super, super, super close. I love my folks very much. And as I got older, and I finally had my son, that was a balance that I want to strike with my son. Now I consider myself, I mean, I never yell at my son, because I've decided that that's not something I'm ever going to do, because my son doesn't control me like that. When I say something, that's it. I only say it twice. I don't say things three times. And he knows that. So, but at the same time, I try to find a way to be a friend to my son, in the sense that no matter what it is, he can always come and talk to me. And I get that. I know I got that from my folks, because my folks never made me feel weird about going to them about certain things, about anything that, that most teenagers felt uncomfortable about. They were really very straightforward and open, and just said, hey, if you need to talk, talk it out. And that's what I was able to do. So I always remember being able to talk to my mom and my dad about anything, and never feeling that, I had to hide. And I'm not gonna lie, there were some things I didn't talk about. That's just talk with them about. But I can honestly say, looking back, the majority of the things, 80% of the things that was going on, I was able to talk to them about it, and it was very straightforward and transparent. And so that's what I do with my son. My biggest thing is whenever he talks to me, I never freak out. Because instantly, when you freak out on your kids, that's an instant shutdown. It's instant shutdown. Once they see you acting all like crazy, they're like, okay, you know what? I'm good. I'm shutting down. I'm not going to talk to them about this because I don't need that in my life. So I never do that. And I try my best to never show, any negative emotion on the face. Now, unfortunately, when I'm very emotional, so I'm like an open book when it comes to my emotions. But so hopefully my son doesn't read it, but I don't know how it is with him. I'm not sure. But I really try my best not to show, a lot of negative emotion, but just sit there and just listen and just, be there. Let him vent and let him have that freedom to just speak his mind with respect, as always. My thing is, I feel like in this day and age, I feel especially in this time right now that we live, respect and relationships between parents and kids are just so way off kilter and just out of the scale. Parents want to be more their kids' friends than they want to be their parents because they want so bad to be the cool mom or the cool dad and, let their kids talk to them any old kind of way. Not really, and at the same time, still not really wanting to get to know their kids. Or when they do want to get to know their kids, if they haven't taken the time to do so before, now they're older and, they don't really know their kids that well. And now they want to get to know them. Now they want to be their friend. They want to be cool and hip and all this other stuff. Or when it comes to discipline, they want to start disciplining them when they're 19 years old. It's like, it's too late now. Like, you try to discipline a grown person. That person's mind is fully developed now. It's been trained. And unfortunately, it ain't been trained by the parents mostly. It's been trained by the media and their peers and who they're around. Unfortunately, on who's been telling them how they should treat their parents, how they should treat the people around them, how they should treat others in society, which unfortunately just has given birth to a bunch of brats that are stuck on their phones, that don't want to do nothing, that are lazy, that are entitled, that feels like they're owed everything. It's like they have this timer when they feel like, okay, they've reached a certain age and now they should be getting certain things that correspond with that age just automatically because they're alive. And they don't gotta earn it or don't gotta make a dime for it. I struggle with that sometimes with my son. It's like, bruh, you think you just gonna get a computer just because you exist? Not today, not ever. That's not happening. You need to earn that. My son, at least with me personally, I don't buy my son a lot of things because that's not what's going to help him grow, in my opinion. I'll buy him gifts and things to show that I love him and I appreciate him, but I'm not the type of dad that goes around and just buys him a bunch of stuff. Buying my son's love and affection or things like that. I just don't do that. And I found that, there's some parents that I've known that have done that and it's just been detrimental and it's not cool. And it's really put a strain a lot of relationships between parents and kids. And as I talked about last week for a brief second when, or not last week, but last, I think about two episodes, I mentioned it briefly. When it comes to respect and that line, that the boundaries that need to be set with kids, there are no boundaries that are set now with kids today. There aren't. They're able to talk to their parents however they want to, and they're always crossing lines. I don't even see lines anymore. When it comes to parents and children, and at times when you're seeing them interact, you don't know who's who. When it came to my son, there was no line. There was a wall. It was a straight up wall. You don't cross this wall. You get over this wall. You happen to climb over this wall. It's not gonna be good. It's not gonna be good. So look up, man. You see that this wall is very high. If you got the audacity to climb over the wall, it's over. It's over. But those type of things need to be set very early on. My son knew who I was and what I expected very early on. So much so to the point that, a lot of what I say carries a lot of weight still up to this day. And I've been managed to be able to carry that balance. I mean, what do you guys think? What have you guys experienced as far as parenting is concerned? Have you guys seen some experience? I know one of my listeners works at a school, and I'm sure I'm sure if you're listening, you've seen a lot of crazy things as far as the dynamic between kids and parents. Parents who thinks their kids can do no wrong. And those children are straight up demons, just evil little things. But they can do no wrong. When a teacher tells them, yeah, Jimmy, punch Robert in the throat during lunch and shove tater tots, down his throat and told him his mom was stupid and pushed him down the stairs. And we had to put him in detention and we're going to suspend him. So, no, my Timmy would never do that. That is not my son. He didn't do that. He didn't do that. It's like, really, lady? Would you think we're just making this stuff up? You think I'm lying? Like, come on. Come on. So when you have those type of parents that don't want to take accountability for their children too, it's a show and proof that there's a flaw in their parenting. And those parents never want to own up to that, because it says a lot about not their kid, really. It says a lot about them. And nobody wants to look stupid. And it's one of the reasons why, I try to do my best with my son, in all aspects. And I don't ever want to look stupid or be called a bad father or anything when it comes to my son. Do the best that I can. And even though we have a unique situation, I understand my son. I think more than most, I understand how he ticks, and I try to parent him according to that understanding. So, what have you guys experienced? What have you guys seen in that regard? I love to hear your views on it. Leave me some emails on that. Speaking of emails, and that's the question for the last 2 days. What's the craziest thing that your parents said to you when you was little? So going back to this, I'm going to move into some of the craziest things that was said. One of my listeners mentioned that her parents would tell her, this got me on pause for a minute because I looked at it all like, what? So when they told her if she didn't stop acting up, they'll burn her hands. La Llorona is going to get her. And I looked up that La Llorona, not okay. Okay, that's creepy. That's no. That's messed up to threaten a child with that. That's not cool. And then they're gonna give me away. That they're gonna give her away. That's jacked up. She's probably questioning if she was adopted already. I don't know. And in fact, hey, we're gonna, gonna give you back. It's like, wow, or give you away. That's kind of messed up. That's jacked up. That sounds like more something that your siblings would say to you. You're not even really a part of this family. You're adopted. Mommy and daddy needed, mommy and daddy needed a dark baby or something like that. Something terrible to like destroy the spirits of babies. But yeah, I mean we've all had those types of experiences where, we just had to we just had to put up with what was said from our parents, knowing that they didn't mean it, okay, and that they love us and that they cared about us, and we just have to remember, especially now that we're older, we just know that they're just human, just like we are. Because when we're kids, our parents do everything. They're not, they weren't human in our eyes. They were more than human. They were Superman, Superwomen. Our parents never got tired. They said they were tired, but we didn't believe them. He's like, stop it. They magically always had money. They always had food all the time. We was able to live good. For some reason, they never wanted us in their rooms because their rooms were like that was like their hideout. But it must have been something special in there since they never let us in there. Our parents were larger than life to most of us. So. But as we gotten older, we just realized that it was a lot of trickery and child manipulation involved with being a parent. And sometimes that's what you got to do. But it's good. I can say being a parent is fun. And no matter what type of parent you are, whether you do have a you do have a spouse, or whether you're a single mother or father, parenting is a joy. And there's a big, and I want to give a big shout out to those of you guys out there that are listening who may be single mothers or fathers, or who have, who are married with full-on families and children, to keep doing what you're doing, but try your best to go against the status quo that's going on now. And, you know, going back to raising good, respectful, responsible children. Because unfortunately nowadays that's sorely, sorely, sorely lacking. And it needs to come back. It really does. It really does. Because we see everything that we see on the media right now, the things that kids are being taught, the things that they're being taught and what is coming out in this new generation right now is a result of what training they've received or lack thereof, unfortunately. And the ideas that have unfortunately been allowed. Again, I'm not going to go into all of that. This is just based on a personal opinion, based on what I've seen and I observed, and sometimes what I have experienced in seeing other people and their parents interact. And it's sad that it has to, you know, this kind of plea has to go out there, but it's super important. I think it's super important. But again, big shout out to everybody, all you folks, all you parents out there, past, present, and future. And, you know, keep up doing that good work. I know I love you. Parents make the world go round. And, yeah, just remember that. So, with that being said, that's all I got to say about that. Parents, keep it up. Keep doing that good job. So, the new Lion King film is going to be coming out very soon. I believe that is July 19th in theaters. What is that? Yeah, I think it's like July 19th or something like that. I'm definitely going to go see this movie. But I got a question. Are they doing too much with these live-action Disney films? I mean, has Disney run out of ideas? Is that something that you think is going on? You know, is that what's going down? I mean, we don't know. Is Disney going to make any more original animated content aside from the computer graphic movies that we've seen that's come out lately, like Disney Pixar and things like that? You know, it seems like now they're leaning more and more towards recreating their live action. I mean, recreating their Disney classics, but in live action. Like one that's coming out soon is Aladdin. Aladdin is good. I'm super excited about it. Why? That's my childhood coming back to me. So I'm excited. You got people that's hating on it. I don't care. I'm going to be the judge. I'm going to go see it myself and be the judge. I'm excited about Will Smith being Genie. I'm also super excited about The Lion King. Because The Lion King, so far from what I've seen, is a frame by frame exact replica and duplication of the animated film. I think that's cool. But I think it could be overkill. Kind of good. Could be an overkill, kind of, if not done correctly. There are some scenes in The Lion King, in my opinion, that have a certain, I don't want to say nostalgia or magic to them, but just a certain oomph to it that loses its oomph when it's put in live action. But after seeing the trailer, I am super, super excited for this. There's obviously a lot of changes and concerns with the cast, who's playing a lot of the characters. Chiwetel Ejiofor is playing Scar in this version, because I believe the original actor has passed away, who played Scar in the animated film. And Beyonce is playing Nala, which, I ain't gonna lie, even though Beyonce kind of gets on my nerves, you really could have picked no other better person to play Nala. I mean, it works. That's a good choice. I mean, I can't knock that. I mean, that is what it is. So, and then you have another gentleman. Let me pull this up so that I'm not just talking out of my butt regarding who's playing who in this movie. Let me see here. I pulled it up earlier today, looking at it. So I'm going to type it in. Lion King cast. Okay. All right. So you got another perfect cast. Donald Glover is playing Simba. Donald Glover, if you guys don't know his stage name, this is Childish Gambino, who's playing Simba. The dude can sing, act. He's a comedian. The dude is a quadruple threat, you know. So that's a perfect cast. So I'm curious to hear the duet combination of Donald Glover and Beyonce singing in this movie. I'm really curious as to how that's going to be. I think that's going to be really, really good. So I'm super excited about that. James Earl Jones has returned as Mufasa. Of course, nobody else could pull that out. Honestly, I don't think they would have even done this movie if James Earl Jones wasn't Mufasa. Still, like if he had passed away before they started doing this remake, I don't even think this would have been done. Because, you know, just no other person on this planet could play Mufasa, really. I mean, you have that iconic scene, Simba, everything the light touches is your land, or whatever the line was in the film. You know, I mean, when he said that in the trailer, man, that was just instant goosies, dude, goosebumps. You know, I was super excited. It was really cool. Eric Andre is playing Aziz. Seth Rogen is playing Pumbaa. And Billy Eichner is playing Timon. I believe Billy Eichner was the original actor who played Timon, if I'm not mistaken. Rafiki has changed, of course. John Connie is playing Rafiki now. The original role was done by Robert Guillaume, who unfortunately is now deceased. And Alfred Woodard is back playing Mufasa's wife, which is super good. I'm just super excited about this movie. This movie is going to be amazing. I have certain things that I do kind of have a few gripes with. There are such thing as black maned lions. That was who Scar was originally based off of. And if anybody ever saw the original behind the scenes cut footage of the making of the Lion King animated film, they actually went to Africa to study and draw lions for the film. That's why it was so accurate. They didn't make cartoony looking lions. I mean, they kind of mixed the styles, but the style of drawing was very accurate. These artists really put in the work and the time to study lions, how they looked. So it kind of bothers me a little bit that for the live action film that they did not actually use a black maned lion for Scar. I mean, he looks like just a regular one of the other regular lions, you know. So that's kind of a little bit annoying to me. I'm not gonna lie. Everything, as far as we know about the movie, is gonna stay the same. Songs, you know, things like that. From what I've been reading, what I've been hearing, it's gonna be pretty much a live action version of the animated film, almost frame by frame. Because of that, they're not promising anything new in that regard for that film. And for Lion King, I think that's okay. I think if they were to, you know, try to add stuff or take out certain things, my biggest thing, I hope they don't take out certain things and they don't add too much to it. You know, I want it to be very as true to the original as possible. So in regard to these films, what do you guys think? Are you guys looking forward to The Lion King? Are you guys looking forward to Aladdin? I know I am looking forward to Aladdin and Lion King. Those are two of my favorite Disney movies. Lion King is a little bit more promising. I know Aladdin, they changed a lot of stuff. But I'm thinking with Lion King, they're not doing that as much, which is fine, which is good. And I hope it's the case. Which live-action Disney film are you guys looking forward to? And back with what I was saying earlier, do you think that Disney is going a little bit ham with these live-action remakes of the classic Disney tales? You know, do you think they need to cut it out? Dumbo is one of the live-action films coming out soon, or that is out. No one cared about it. No one asked for it. Nobody wanted it. And to me, it looks boring. I've never been interested in Dumbo. And like I said, if they were to stay true to the original story of Dumbo, nobody's going to watch that, because that movie was racist. Straight up. It was all kinds of racist. So I know that Dumbo was changed 100%, was given a complete revamp. But it's a movie that nobody cares about. You know, oh my God, I love Dumbo, said no one ever. No one cared about that. Yeah, big old elephant loses his mommy. I mean, okay, he's got big old ears and he can fly. That doesn't move me. I'm not tripping on that. I don't care. Sounds rude, yeah, but it is what it is. Nobody asked for Dumbo. Nobody wanted Dumbo. Real talk. Nobody wanted Dumbo at all. Beauty and the Beast was also another one, I think. Beauty and the Beast was something people wanted to see. It was neat to see. That was just poor casting choice. Emma Watson's Belle was a terrible casting choice, in my opinion. Horrible. She was the most driest, unemotional, bland, plain Jane, regular singing person I've ever seen. Terrible, terrible, terrible casting choice. Terrible, just bad. Just a bad casting choice. I think that's just a result of them just wanting to push a movie out and getting something out there to make some cash. Maybe they used that to make some money for the Star Wars films they were making. I don't know, but that was a bad one. That was a bad casting choice. So much so that I didn't even bother to see it. I heard it's dead on. It's another one of those live-action films, live-action Disney movies that are dead on the animated movie. But I don't care. I don't care. I didn't see live-action Cinderella when it first came out. Live-action Cinderella, when that first came out, I didn't even know it was coming out. I saw it on a movie poster at a theater once. I was like, oh, they're doing live-action Cinderella. And I thought that was just the one they were going to do. I didn't know that Cinderella was the start of this whole new chain of, you know, live-action Disney films. Talk about upcycling, right? So, you know, I had no idea. So I haven't seen Cinderella. Don't care to see it. Did not see Beauty and the Beast. Don't care to see it. Dumbo is another one. Don't care to see it. No one asked for this. And honestly, with all these Disney films, no one asked for them. I mean, they're cool, but nobody asked for them. And I just feel like, well, is Disney, as far as their old cartoons are concerned, are they running out of ideas? So they're going back to things that they know? Or is the new generation so out of ideas that they can't come up with fresh new animations anymore? You know, after a while, we're going to see live-action versions of 101 Dalmatians. Actually, there is a live-action version of that now that I think about it. And it was terrible. Lady and the Tramp. Oh, that's the next one, I bet you. Lady and the Tramp. We're probably going to get a live-action version of Lady and the Tramp or The Hunchback of Notre Dame. We're going to get one of those. I bet you. I bet you that's the next one. If I was a betting man, I'd probably put some money on that. Anyways, I should do a little contest on Instagram and Twitter. Be like, if you guys can guess the next live-action Disney film, you'll get a t-shirt, Stuff Podcast Show t-shirt from me. By the way, those are coming out soon. Big plug. But yeah, I think I'm going to go ahead and do that. I think that'll be fun. But yeah, we'll see how that goes. But Lion King, I am definitely looking forward to. Aladdin, I'm definitely looking forward to. Nobody asked for that movie. Nobody's looking for it. Yes, a live-action Aladdin is going to take away magic from the first one. I'm going in fully recognizing that. In fact, it's going to be nothing like the original animated film. But that's fine. I want to see it because I'm a huge fan. It's my most favorite Disney movie of all time. And I just want to see it live. I just want to see. You know, it might end up being a hot mess. But then again, it might be the best live-action animated film from Disney I've seen since The Jungle Book, which is amazing, and which I regret not seeing in the theater. Because that movie was great in the theater. I mean, that was a great movie. Jungle Book was tight. Everything about that movie was great. Gosh, Jungle Book was so good. Thank you, Mama, for showing me that. I regret not seeing that in the theater. Yeah, so tell me what you guys think of these Disney films. Are they doing too much? Should they go back to the grassroots? If they're going to start over again, should they, instead of rehashing old ideas and things that they've already done, should they focus on creating brand new old school animated content again? I think it would be nice to see Disney go back to old school animation. Because that's what they were the pioneers in. I know they want to be advanced in things, but sometimes old stuff can be made new again. And especially now with computer animation and all this sort of stuff, you got your Frozens and all your stuff. You know, I think it'd be good to see an animated, like an old school animated film again. What do you guys think? Is that something you guys like to see? Give me your thoughts. The Stuff IDW on Twitter. The Stuff Podcast Show at gmail.com. And at The Stuff Podcast Show on Instagram. Shoot me some comments, emails, and whatever, and your thoughts on this, okay? Joaquin Phoenix is the new clown prince of crime in his new movie as the Joker. And when this was first announced, I was super, super excited because Joaquin Phoenix, as you may all know, is a very, very talented actor. I mean, this dude has done so many different roles. I can't remember. It's funny, Joaquin Phoenix movies, I can never remember the names of the movies that he's been in. But, you know, I know him a lot because I've seen him in a lot of films. And I'm very excited about this film that he's playing. About the film that he's playing. About the role that he's playing as the Joker. This is going to be a different take on the Joker from what I've read up on it. It's going to be, again, kind of another thing that kind of DC tends to do a lot, is basing a lot of things on reality. So this version of the Joker is, they're taking a familiar origin story of the Joker, Arthur Fleck. That's a name we've heard before. That's a name I've heard before. I swear I've heard it before. I think it was a Killing Joke. That was the name that they gave him in that. I'm not sure, but I know I've heard that name before. Somebody said they never had that, but I don't believe so. But Joaquin Phoenix is playing a comedian by the name of Arthur Fleck, who is, let's see here. I'm going to go in on this description here. So it seems like this Joker is dealing with a mental illness, and I guess over time, due to his unsuccess as a comedian, as a stand-up comedian, he constantly is getting, you know, belittled, picked on, not dependent on, whatever the case may be, and each rejection just slowly but surely brings him to the descent of the maniacal person we know as the Joker. Zazie Beetz is in the movie with him, playing his opposite, and I love Zazie Beetz. She's so fine. I fell in love with her when she was Domino in Deadpool 2. So she's in it. It's funny because looking at this cast, there's a lot of people in here that are playing some notable characters. You have Dante Pereira. I can't say that name. But he's playing a young Bruce Wayne. You have Brett Cullen, who's playing a young Thomas Wayne. Douglas Hodge is playing Alfred Pennyworth. So, I mean, there's some people here that are playing some big names in this film. And apparently this is a very star-studded film. It's considered a crime drama. And I'm super excited about what this film is going to be. It's a brand new take on the Joker, I think. Well, not brand new. It's kind of familiar because, like I said, we've gotten the failed stand-up comedian before. That origin was thrown about before in the comic books even. But I don't think it was an origin that kind of really stuck fully. And those of us who are Batman fans, we know that in that story he was a stand-up comedian who failed, didn't quite make it, tried to make a name for himself, became the first Red Hood, the original Red Hood, not to be mistaken for Jason Todd's Red Hood, pre-Joker Batman villain, Red Hood, to get notoriety and, you know, attention for himself. And that accident failed badly in a situation in a chemical plant. He falls in. He becomes the Joker that we all know and love today. Combination of his life and the chemicals altering his brain, blah, 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 yak and smack. It looks like this Joker film with Joaquin Phoenix, though, is going towards a mental health angle. And, you know, all it takes is one bad day. That's been the constant theme throughout Joker, you know, comic book history. All it takes is one bad day. And I think this movie, they're really riding with that theme. They're really riding on that line. And it's, I'm curious to see how Joaquin Phoenix is going to be. I really think he's going to be scary. I'm a very, very intense, very emotional Joker. And I'm curious to know how it will play out at the end once he finally breaks and becomes the clown prince that we know he's going to eventually become, and how Joaquin will portray that role. I'm kind of betting that it's going to be comparable to Heath Ledger. A lot of people who have seen the trailers to the film and, you know, seen a lot of the pictures are already comparing it to Heath Ledger's portrayal. Heath Ledger still standing alone as the best portrayal of the Joker of all time on film. Jack Nicholson becoming second. I have a lot of faith in Joaquin Phoenix. I'm really thinking that he's He's going to pull out something amazing, and he's going to probably be right under Heath. It's a possibility that he could even surpass him. You know, I'm not going to discount that possibility. I really think it is possible. So there's not too much out on the movie. They've really managed to keep this movie under wraps as far as main storyline, what they're going to do. Like I said, all we know, Arthur Fleck is a failed stand-up comedian who's constantly in Gotham City, who's constantly getting, you know, having bad luck, dealing with a relationship with his either his wife or his girlfriend, trying to deal with family, trying to make ends meet, and it's just not working out. And that all of those things slowly have to do with the descent that his mind goes into as he's trying to navigate through life, all at the same time while trying to keep it together. And obviously a crack happens where he literally doesn't. And so, you know, it's going to be good. I'm really interested in seeing how far this is going to go, how this movie is going to play out. I need to look up and see the release date for this movie. It says it's just going to be out in 2019. It doesn't show a specific date. Well, March 2019 was supposed to be, but it doesn't have an exact date. The first look at the character came out in March. This month here in April, we got the first official long trailer. So we're going, you know, it's supposed to be in October. I'm sorry. October 4th, 2019 is when the Joker is supposed to be coming out. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm really curious to see where it's going to go. There's going to be no Batman in this movie. None of that. This is just completely focused on the Joker. This is his movie. This is his story. I know for sure this is going to be a story that's going to be 130,000% better than Jared Leto Joker. That's for sure. Because that's something I do not want. And I do not want to see. Because I could care less about Jared Leto's Joker. I'm not even giving it a chance. I just don't want it. I don't like it. And I'm hoping that Joaquin Phoenix's portrayal will kind of be so mind-blowing that it'll pretty much shroud Jared Leto's Joker. I would like for that to happen. That's me being a hater. I can admit when I'm being a hater. Straight up. I don't care. I really don't. I don't care. I hate Jared Leto's portrayal of the Joker, even though it is comic accurate. I don't like it. And I want it to go away. You know, Jared Leto's Joker is the equivalent of Kate Bosworth's Lois Lane. Who? Who's Kate Bosworth, you say? Exactly. Such a terrible portrayal that she's been forgotten along the long lines of women, female actresses that have portrayed Lois Lane. They don't even include Kate Bosworth as Lois Lane. She played Lois Lane in Superman Returns, and she was horrible. She was terrible. Terrible miscast. Terrible, terrible actress in the film. Just no emotion, no depth, just dry, bland, terrible. Garbage. I'm hoping that same fate falls on Jared Leto. Yes, I'm being a hater. Yes, I'm being a jerk about it. I don't care. Jared Leto Joker needs to go away. And I hope he needs to just go off by himself. Be Michael Morbius in the Spider-Man films, Michael in the Morbius film, and just settle for that. It'll be fine. You know, that's how I feel about it. So, anyways, that's enough for me on this subject. What do you guys think? Have you guys even heard about this Joker film that's coming out? Is it something that you guys are looking forward to? Are there any Joaquin Phoenix fans out there? If there are, tell me some of your favorite Joaquin Phoenix movies. If you really are a fan, I like to hear what you guys think of him portraying the Joker, how much of a good job you think he's going to, or how much he might even butcher the character. You know, I want to know what you think of that. So I want to hear from you guys about that. If you're on Twitter, the Stuff IDW, Instagram, the Stuff Podcast Show, and then email thestuffpodcastshow@gmail.com. I'd love to hear your comments, thoughts, and opinions on this movie. And all that other fun jazz. All right. Thanks so much, guys. So that's it for this week's episode of the Stuff Podcast Show. I want to thank you guys so much for listening in and taking the time with me to talk some more about news, entertainment, life, all the different stuff that I usually talk about. time. You guys are so awesome, so amazing, and I really appreciate you guys. Content is growing on a constant basis, and I would love for you guys to continue spreading the word and participating in the community, the social community that I'm trying to build. I'm over on Facebook, so follow the Facebook group, The Stuff Podcast Show. You can also find me on Twitter at The Stuff IDW, on Instagram, The Stuff Podcast Show. And you can also send me an email. Give me your feedback on the shows, what you think, any show suggestions, topics, and ideas. You can always send them there, and I'll be sure to read them. And I take these suggestions and read them aloud on the What You Say Breath segment of my show. You can shoot an email to me at thestuffpodcastshow@gmail.com. Thank you guys so much for listening. I appreciate you all very much, and I look forward to chatting and hanging with you guys again next week on The Stuff Podcast Show.